Y'all remember me telling about that when the man was out in the back? He was in the back of the church. And I was here and I heard him. I saw him. And so I went to see what he was doing. And he was back there changing his clothes. He had been at work and he was changing his clothes to go somewhere. And I didn't know what he was doing. So I walked into the back door and opened up, walked out, and I said, "You okay?" I was working on the PowerPoint. And I said, "You okay?" And I was holding this in my hand. He goes, "Yes, sir, I'm fine." And I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" He says, "No, sir. No, sir. I'll be out here in a minute." I said, "Well, take your time." He said, "No, sir." And he grabbed his stuff and jumped in the car and left. I walked in and I said, "He thinks I got a gun pointed at him." It was this. All right, here we go. A minister was called to a local nursing home to perform a wedding. An anxious old man met him at the door. The pastor sat down to counsel the old man and asked several questions. He said, "Do you love her?" The old man replied, "I guess." "Is she a good Christian woman?" The old man answered, "I don't know for sure." "Does she have lots of money?" He said, "I doubt it." He said, "Then why in the world do you want to marry her?" He said, "Because she can still drive at night." Get your Bible out. See, it came so fast. February came so fast. I didn't realize it was first Sunday. I'm getting messages here. Don't forget communion. Okay. All right, y'all. I'm not going to forget it. I promise. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says, For what I received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Reach your hands up into air. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to share in communion, to participate in what you already did for us. I thank you, God, that you do not have to be perfect to do this. You don't even have to have your act all together to do this, because, God, you've got your act all together, and you're the reason why we celebrate it. Because I thank you, God, that I don't have to be perfect or I would never take communion. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, God, and help us understand that you are in total 100% control. Forgive us of our attitudes. Forgive us of our actions. Forgive us, Lord, of intentions, Lord, that aren't right, in the name of Jesus. And we're going to take this, Lord, not because we're perfect, but because you are, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Brother Benny, come on up here, bro. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and then he blessed it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this, eat it, do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, the same night, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you. It's the New Testament in my blood, my covenant with you. Drink it in remembrance of me. Come, let us join at the Lord's table." Did we miss anybody? If you did, raise your hand. We'll make sure we get it to you. Everybody ready? This is his body, broken for you. This is blood shed for you. You ain't got good. All the time. All right. Now we're going to finish. Actually, it's going to be another start, another after this one. I'm trying to keep you on. Remember the Respis family. Mike's been a good friend of mine for about, 30 years, I suppose. And he had a heart attack last week and died. And I'll be doing his funeral today at 2:00. So let's remember the Respis family. Okay? So get ready. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to worship? I love this. Do we even understand what it means to worship? Look at this title. The act of worship. 8 points of misinformation. I'm getting ready to get into it. But 8 points of misinformation. Here's a couple from last week because I do want to tie everything all in. How many here would like to go into a fire without a hose? How many in here would like to jump out of a plane without a parachute? Nope, I've done it with a parachute. I can promise you I would never want to do that without a parachute. Amen. How many would like to go into the snow without a coat? All right, and the list goes on, but here's the question. How would you like to face the world without God? How many? Would say, I'll face the world without him. Not me. No way. But how many would like to face God without worship to him? That's a very powerful, powerful thought. So again, I'm trying to go ahead and get through this because I'm getting ready to talk about misinformation, okay? Think of all that God has given us. The only thing that we can truly give back to God is our worship. He's given you everything, your breath, your life, your job, your family. Everything you own, everything came from God. So the only thing you can give back to him is worship. So watch this. Knowing this truth, what can be our excuse to not worship him? Why are we holding back? I mean, not everybody worships the same. Some people worship with their hands up in the air. Some people worship with their eyes closed. Some people worship with tears. Some worship with laughter. There's no set way to worship, but you got to understand what worship is, okay? So we're getting ready to talk about what worship is. And we talked about this last week. This is where we closed last week. When you need to pick me up in the middle of your battles, in the middle of your disappointments, in the middle of your hurts, in the middle of your pains, then what you got to do is find a moment, just a few moments of worship. You don't have to stop. You don't have to get down on your knees. You can worship God while you're doing your job. You can worship God while you're riding down the road. You can worship God anywhere, anytime. And once you start to worship God, I promise you, it will improve your perspective, and it's going to bring some joy, unexpected joy, into your life. And here's how we ended last week. Worshiping God is the quicker picker-upper. Amen? So now move in. This is really kind of wild. Misinformation. How many has heard that at least one time in the last couple of years? At least in the last couple of years, not the last 3, 4, 5 years. Misinformation is a very, very misused word. It's the byword of the season. If somebody doesn't like what you're telling on them, then it's misinformation. I'm not talking about Democrat and Republican because they all do it. Every last one of them do it. If they don't like what you're telling, then that's misinformation. Why'd you do that? Well, that's misinformation. Why was this here? Because I was misinformed. What happened there? Well, that's all just misinformation. It's a strong word that in this last few years, because it's been used so much, and use so many crazy ways, it has been diluted. It's used as a political ploy. So many times people are using it to keep from having the truth exposed, or to keep it from going any deeper, or to keep them from investigating things. So it actually doesn't have much weight with me anymore. When I hear somebody go, that's misinformation, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, yeah, wherever you're at, if I hear somebody talk, that's just misinformation. Honestly, I think about all the stuff that I've heard and seen in the last few years, and it don't mean a whole lot to me anymore. Used to, it was, oh, wow. And now it's like, yeah. And I can't, you know, and I can't drive my mule to church, you know, whatever, you know, misinformation. But today, right now, in this house, we're going to talk about spiritual truth. And this spiritual truth that we're going to talk about carries a whole lot of weight. Matter of fact, a lot of misinformation has been given about this subject that we're going to talk about, DNS worship. How many has heard 100 different things about worship and not even sure if what you've heard was even right? Or you tried what you heard and it just drove you crazy. Because there has been, and this is not a political ploy, this is the truth. There's been a whole lot of misinformation about God, about His Word, about His truth, and about worship. Just to jump in, just go ahead and jump in on the deep end. We're not even going to wade out to the what. We're going to jump in on the deep end. How many know that God created us? Not only does He desire us to worship Him, He created us to worship Him. Now you got to think about something. He's got angels around His throne 24/7 crying, holy, holy, holy. He's got angels around His throne 24/7 going, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But they are supposed to do that. That's what they were created for. So it's kind of like you getting my checkbook and going to buy me something and say, here, this is from me. Really? You paid for it. You picked it out. You paid for it. You took me to the store, you know, and you got it all and come back and said, this is no. Okay. So, worship is something that God loves, but He doesn't make us do it. Okay? So let's just look a little bit. God designed His creation to worship Him. Romans 1 and 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation, so they are without excuse, supposed to worship God. I mean, His attributes, all the things God does, no matter what it is, people see it, they know it. Even the people that claim to be atheists, when they get in a bind, what's the first thing they say is, oh my God. When a baby is born and his first words, usually a child's first words is Abba, 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 Abba. You're thinking they're saying daddy, and they are, but Abba, Abba, Abba is Arabic for father. Abba, Abba, they're calling God. So everybody knows there's a God, whether they believe it or not, whether they choose to not believe it, because they do believe it. Romans 1:25 says, but this day and time that we're in, the people have changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped the creation versus the Creator. Isaiah 55:12 says, the mountains and the hills will burst into song. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Whenever God communes with us, we are to respond in thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now, let's go ahead and get really, really, really deep for a minute, okay? What is the difference between praise and worship? We had some praise before the offering. We had praise. After the offering, we had worship. I didn't see any difference. Well, let me explain. There was a difference. That's specifically why I picked those songs for today. DC still not feeling good. So, okay, son, we got this. Praise is about God. Worship is to God. Let that soak in for a minute. Praise is about God. Worship is to God. Praise is opening up. Worship is entering in. Wow. There's a big difference. Praise is boldly declaring. Worship is humbly bowing. Remember, he said, here's our cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. I lift it up.
Wow. That's worship.
No more crying there. We're going to go see the king. That's praise. But when we start talking about, here's my cup, Lord. Wow. So, it's humbly bowing. Praise applauses what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Can't you see what the Lord has done? Worship is honoring God for who he is. He ain't got to do a thing. If God does nothing else for me for the rest of my life, I could honor him for what he's already done. Amen? So there's a big difference. A great big old difference here. So we talked about this last week. Worship is forgetting about what's wrong with you and remembering what's right with God. Our purpose in worship. Misinformation number one. Here's the misinformation I was talking about. Get ready. You may need some steel toes. I don't know. That all depends. Misinformation one. Worship is when we talk about God. Misinformation. The truth is, worship is when we come into the presence of God. Remember, when we start to praise him, he smells that sweet aroma. And when he smells that sweet aroma, then he in turn reaches down and touches you. And when you're praising God, something happens. You get lit up on the inside. Something happens in your spirit. Something happens in your soul. It's amazing what happens when you begin to worship. I remember the time we're going to Roses. Y'all remember Roses in Washington? We're in Roses and DC and Daniel. They're little bitty things. Daniel can't be much more than 3 or 4 years old. And he sees a truck or a toy that he likes. And he says, Daddy, can I get this toy? And I said, son, we don't have the money right now. He said, that's okay, Dad. And I watched him go and move all the other toys out of the way and put that toy there and put the ones in front of him. Little engineer was coming out of him. And he said, let's go, Dad. And he reached up his hand to me and said, I love you, Dad. His intentions were pure. And all he wanted to do was please me and love me. When I saw what he did, I reached down and I pulled that same stuff out of the way and I grabbed that toy and I said, you got it, buddy. See, he was going to love me. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't get all upset. He just loved me anyway and wanted to serve me. And it made me want to serve him. So, Bible says in Psalm 22:3, thou art holy, thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. If you can't find God, if you can't feel him, if you begin to praise God, that's his address. When you begin to praise God and worship him, God responds always, always. Maybe not the way you're expecting, but when I find myself dry, I raise those hands and I begin to worship God because God will start filling the cup because that's where he's at. I don't know where God's at. Try worship because he'll come to you. Amen? And we got a God that does make house calls. Amen. You seek too much information and not enough transformation. Have we been there? Are we there now? I got to understand it all before I can worship God. I promise you, you won't understand it all. Well, I got to understand why. Tell me what. Tell me where. And God's saying, just let me transform you. If you let me take care of you, just worship me. You don't need to know everything. Just let go and worship me and watch what will happen. The product of worship, misinformation number two. Worship leaves me feeling pleased. You ever walk out of church, slapping everybody on the back and say, "Wasn't that awesome?" And I say, "Well, what did the somebody say? What did the preacher preach about?" I don't know. Huh? Well, why are you feeling so good? Well, I just feel good. Or, you know, you feel like running out and charging hell with a water pistol. You run outside and can't find hell or the water pistol. Worship leaves me feeling pleased. Nope, that's misinformation. Truth is, true worship leaves God feeling pleased. Today, when we say our final amens and we're going out, I want you to ask yourself, not was I pleased with the servants. Ask the Father, were you pleased? Were you pleased with the way I worshiped you, God? Were you pleased with the way we respected you? Are you pleased with what we're giving up to you, God? Because it's not about us. About us feeling good. I love goosebumps. I love them. Lord knows I love goosebumps. I love to get those good feelings and those woolly boogers. But you know what? Bottom line, it's not about how I feel. It's how He feels. You see, Ephesians 5 and 10 says, "And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is that most acceptable to Him." Many Christians believe that they are the audience. In truth, God is the audience today. Remember, we talked about it earlier. God, we're singing and we're worshiping to an audience of one. God is the audience, not us. I'm only going to do two more. Somebody say amen. I didn't have to be so happy about it. Really? At least you finally showed some emotion here. I know you're not asleep. Ready? The point of focus in worship. Misinformation number three. In worship, the focus is on the activity. Performance driven. In this world that we live in now, this fast-paced world where it's gimme, 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 gimme. I can get all the information I want. Right here, I can look up a doctor. I can find out, you know, see if I can't get some kind of taking care of me while I'm riding down the road. I can find where I'm going. Everything's instant. I ain't got to pull out a road map anymore. I can find phone numbers and call people before I even get there, you know. And in churches nowadays, they're ministering, but reaching to that type of thing. It's performance driven. And if you don't outperform last Sunday, you'll lose them the next Sunday. It's performance driven. How many praise and worship? Well, man, we sang that praise and worship song 25 times. Well, we sang ours 30 times. Really? That's performance driven. Well, I really didn't get anything out of it because they didn't do that normal thing where they run the motorcycle in and run them through the loop, the loop, the loop. No. That's performance driven. The truth is, in worship, we focus on God. And when we focus on God, not the activity, we're driven to performance. And the number one performance we're driven to is this, picking up our hand. Either closing our eyes or looking up or whatever. But that's where it pleases God. I remember one time I've been going to this nursing home in Dunn, North Carolina. It was an old hospital. So there was four floors. And every Saturday I'd go in, and of course the bottom floors were where they had all their offices. So second, third, and fourth floors were People that were staying there, living there, occupants. And it was the craziest thing. I watched God do so many things. One day I went in there and there's this one lady who had always, always been happy when I went to see her, and she was just excited and we were talking. I went in one Saturday and she had the covers pulled up to here and she was holding them and her eyes were closed. And there was two ladies sitting in the chair beside her and they were crying. And so I backed out and asked the nurse what was going on. And the nurse said, that's her daughters. And said, they're waiting for her to pass. She's going out of here. Waiting for her to pass. I said, really? I said, really? I said, okay. I had some dum-dums in a bag. And I walked in and I said, what I always said, I said, what's happening, sister? And she went, nothing. I said, would you like a dum-dum? She said, let me have one. And she sat up in the bed and was eating her dum-dum. Her daughters were kind of. And the nurse said, can I see you for a minute? I said, ma'am. She said, I need to see you for a minute. I said, what? She said, I need to see you, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. I walked to her and she said, what'd you do to her? I said, I didn't do anything to her. She said, yeah, you did. She was on her deathbed. She had less than an hour to live. You walk in to give her a dum-dum. She's sitting up in the bed eating a dum-dum. I said, it's just the power of God. We don't have to have anything fancy going on to have God move. And that story like that happened multiple times. So they finally said, can you have a revival here? I said, in the nursing home? They said, in the nursing home. I said, all right. So they gave us a hallway. I had singers and I had musicians and we all come in. And they rolled people. Some people walked down with their canes. Some they rolled in with their beds. They had the beds lined up down the hall. And we only did it for just a couple of days because I don't know how much they could handle. So we did, I think, 2 days, maybe three. And I think 30 people got saved. It was amazing. But you see, it had nothing to do with the nursing home. It wasn't some big cathedral. There wasn't a whole bunch of lavish stuff going on. There weren't all the fancy systems. That day was a dum-dum and a dum-dum holding a dum-dum. That revival, people were pushed down in their beds. But God moved in a very, very powerful way. You see, because they weren't performance driven. Their focus was on God. My people said, they laughed. Some of my people laughed when I said, we're going to nurse them and have a revival. They said, yeah, don't you mean a resurrection? And after the first service, the guy come to me, said, and said, I'm so sorry. He said, I just watched God move like I ain't seen in a long, long time. Amen. I said, I told you. So, again, you got to understand something. Worship is an inside job. Amen? It's an inside job. Finally, number four. Oh, I love this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and 6. They were destroyed means to pine away and to pine away and to pine away until you die. There's a lot of church services. Although it's on the outside, it ought to be on the inside because that's what's going on in the church. Wow. God, don't let me be one of them. Ever be one of these. Pathway to worship, misinformation number four. True worship happens when the music and the message is good. Well, I can tell you, I've been to one of the bad. I'd rather have good than bad. And it definitely enhances. But I remember in a church service, full of professional musicians, and a preacher, or multiple preachers that had degrees all the way down to the floor. And the most powerful thing was a little child standing up in front. Singing, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him till the sun goes down. And she could barely get the words out to start with because she was so nervous. And then she sang it again. And the Lord started moving in her life. And the Lord started rattling those tombstones. And out of all that stuff, we had the pomp and the circumstance and all those musicians and all those amplifiers and all that stuff and the theological explanations, her little praise hymn drove the place crazy. God was blessed that day. Man was blessed that day. She was blessed that day. True worship happens when we worship in spirit and in truth. Get your Bible out. Turn to John. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus was the greatest of all theologians. And when he told you something, you can better believe that it was right. They're trying to figure out where to worship God. Do the Samaritans worship on their mountain? Do they worship him in the temple of God? And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, and it's the hour that we're living in. You can look around and see what's happening. You know it is. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I was at the detention center yesterday, and I was ministering to somebody all by themselves in a little room. And I watched the Spirit of the Lord fall on this man. And I saw the tears begin to fall. And I watched God do a work in that man's life. Nobody was around. Nobody saw what was going on. It was just me and him and God. But that man and me, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's just talk about that for a minute. Ready? Ready? Here it goes. And I'm getting ready to close. Brandon, you get ready. Get ready. I mean, it's not ready yet, but you're going to get ready. Be thinking about what you want to play. Worship in truth means the foundation. Worship in spirit, your attitude, means beyond the surface, beyond your situation. Worshiping in truth is the foundation. It's the Word of God, beyond human reason, beyond human reaction. I don't know. How many of y'all have been to Emmaus, the Emmaus Walk? Most of us have. Y'all remember when they sang that song all the time? It's one of my favorite. And they just go, it's just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the wrong one. Jesus, Jesus, shall I tell you how I feel? You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Jesus, Jesus, Can I tell you how I feel? You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Bethany, the tumor had gone to her brain. And she had talked very little the last 2 days. She was in the hospital before she went to the hospital. And the day before, it was on Wednesday because she left. Thursday was the last time she spoke to me, but it was either Wednesday, that Thursday or the Wednesday. But I was outside talking with somebody. And they said, how's Bethany doing? I said, she's not doing good. It's gone to her brain. She's not even, I don't know if she's even aware that we're here. I'm not even sure what's going on. She's in and out, in and out. And from her room, I heard an angel. And the angel was going, Jesus, Jesus, can I tell you how I feel? You have given me your spirit. I love you so. And I said, that is beautiful. Who is in her room? And I walked in her room. And her eyes were closed. And she had her hands raised up. And she was singing that song. She was just her in God's presence, and she was worshiping God. And so I just backed away from the door and let her have her time with God. Wow. You see, she was going out of here. Unless the miracle took place, she was on her way out. She knew it. We knew it. We were waiting to get a bed at hospice. We all knew that she was on her way out. We had already been told. And although everything, all the doors were shut for solutions, in the middle of all the crazy, in her room, with her hands raised, and I looked, and there was tears running down her eye, and she's worshiping God. Wow. That was so burnt in me. It's an indelible thing in my life and in my mind. Yesterday, in that little bitty room, that inmate, with tears, holding his head down and a hand up. Wow. You see, they didn't have to have a fancy cathedral, anything fancy at all. They just needed them. God. It's amazing. This is how we ended last week. I'm going to end it the same way. Assignment for the week. Check your focus. What are you focused on? Bethany had nothing else to focus on. She was going out of here. For her, she knew the race was done. But instead of getting angry, instead of arguing, she just held her hands up with tears down her eyes and worshiped God. The guy yesterday said, I have no idea when I'm ever getting out of here. With nobody there, no audience, nothing. I watched the tears fall down his face as he worshiped God. Wow. Check your focus. Are you focusing on your problems? Are you focusing on what's not right? Are you focusing on you? Are you focusing on God? Next, grow your focus. Once you get it right, don't grow your focus in the wrong way. Once you get it in the right direction toward God, grow that focus. How do you grow it? But it says they'll worship me in spirit and in truth. Check your attitude and check your foundation. Spirit, your attitude. Truth, your foundation. Grow it. And then lock on it. Just lock that focus. Refuse. Refuse. Last night I was working on this and I happened to go across the, I reckon you call them memes, but it was talking about negative thoughts. And don't let negative thoughts invade your positive thoughts. And so the guy's right here working on a problem, and he's got, you see the positive thoughts that he had, but the cloud was trying to get over with the negative to drown out all the positive. And he had his hand up like this, holding back the cloud of negative while he was still working on the positive. The Bible said that Nehemiah had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. He was holding back the enemy as he was building for God. Sometimes you got to do that. So, lock your focus. Worship serves as a profound method of connecting with God. Engaging the moments of worship can provide a clearer perspective, shifting focus from our circumstances to the divine sovereignty of the Lord. I know I've told you so many times, but one of the greatest examples to me, when we told Bethany she was dying, and I said, I'd die in your place. Linda said she'd die in her place, and if we could, she said, y'all can't. I said, don't worry, though. Either way, I win. Live or die, I win. But then she said, the last night she ever said a word, her very last words, I thought she hadn't spoke all day. I sat down beside her in the reclining chair getting ready to go to sleep. By the time I dozed off, she hollered, Dad, Dad! And I said, what, Beth? And she said, I think I'm scared. And I stood up and I held her by the hands and I kissed her on the forehead. And I said, don't worry, baby. Daddy's scared too. And I prayed for her. And then I said, what have you said this whole time you've been sick? And her very last words, which means so much to me, was God's guidance. Wow. If we could get that through our head, that God's got this, we could worship better. We'd be freer to worship because God's got this. And either way, we win. Whether God heals us, whether God, whatever, gives us a better job, whatever it is, if we realize that either way we win, and we realize that it doesn't matter the outside focus, when you're focusing up here, wow. It's amazing what will happen. Everybody stand. Brandon, come up here and play something, bro. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Today, has the service pleased? Ask yourself, God, have I pleased you, and are you pleased with the service today? God, are you pleased? Every hand raised, every eye closed. We're going to start with some worship. Yeah, fill my cup, Lord. We're going to sing Fill My Cup, Lord. Everybody together. There's no words up there. There was no words. Brandon was the one that found it this morning, and it was so awesome. We just went ahead and played it. Ready? Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Sing it. Come and fill this thirsting from my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. One more time. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting from my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. You know, yesterday, keep on playing, Brandon. Yesterday, I was getting ready to leave an inmate that I'd ministered to the week before. And before I left him, I always carry this with me, the frankincense and myrrh anointing balm. And last week, he was really struggling, so I said, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah. And I said, can I anoint you? He said, I don't know what it is, but go ahead. And I took this and I anointed him because he was struggling with anxiety. And he said, I didn't know about this until I got ready to leave yesterday. And he told me, we're getting ready to pray for him. And he said, hey, man, hold on just a second, chap. He said, you got any more of that stuff you had last week? I said, the anointing oil? He said, yes, sir. Can you do that again? I said, yes, sir. He said, because after you anointed me, I felt good. And he said, when I laid down to go to sleep, I smelt that anointing oil all night long. And all I could think about was God's presence. And he said, I slept. Man, I slept. It was awesome. He says, I sure could stand some more of that anointed sleep. And I said, well, come over here, buddy. I'll really load you down. How many here need some anointed sleep? Some anointed work? Some anointed rest? Here's how you do it. We're going to sing it again. Fill my cup, Lord. Sing it with me. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting from my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Now without music. Ready? I'll sing it. Here it goes. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill this thirsting from my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. First off, who would say in here, hey, Brother David, hey, Pastor, I know I'm not where I should be with God, and I really, really, really want a stronger relationship with Him. I'm not gonna call you out. I'm not gonna make an issue. I'm just gonna, at your seat, we can pray, and nobody ever knows that you even raised your hand. If you're in here and I'm talking to you right now, would you raise that hand? I'm not as close as I want to be with God, and I need God to help me to get where I need to be. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Maybe you're here today, and you and God are okay, but you're just having a hard time worshiping because your focus has been off. Your focus has been on you, and your focus has been on your situation, and your focus has been on your hurts and your pains versus God. And if you need some help with that right now, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, could you put that hand up and say, I need some help adjusting my focus, God. I really need help adjusting my focus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. We're going to pray right now. And we're going to expect something mighty from God. Now pray with me. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We ask you right now to touch in a very special way. Help us to reach up, because we know that you're always reaching down. Help us, God, to adjust our focus on you versus what we're going through. And help us to know that you got this no matter what. And either way, we win. God, we rededicate our lives to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer as usual. And when I get through saying the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.